Nick, you may be wondering, where in the world is Marissa?
Oh, well, do I not know? Have I been lied to?
You have been lied to. She is getting ready. We here at Full Focus are developing a personal dating profile for her. And we're doing a little bachelorette thing for her.
It's about time.
We're making things happen. We're making moves. If you want to go to it, go to fullfocus.co/Marissa.
Now we have to set that up. Okay. So obviously, if you haven't noticed, and it's the first thing you've done today, is of course turned on Focus on this. It is April 1st that this episode comes out.
What's up, everybody?
That is true that we have talked about this in the past, but it is not true that we're doing that. And since Marissa isn't here because she's Eat, Pray, Loving in Europe somewhere, we get to say whatever we want. So happy April Fools, I guess. But today...
Mainly for her when she listens to this on April 1st. She's like, but, you guys did not do that. I'm like, oh, yeah, we did.
Well, this is what happens when the chief marketing officer or whatever goes away. we do whatever we want.
Exactly.
I did think today might be kind of fun. I told Ken not to look at the info on this script.
Perfect.
That, which is great. Today is April 1st. We thought it might be fun to share with you sort of the pranks that people online or in productivity spaces say when they tell you that you can be more productive and happier. So these are things that maybe are productivity hacks that aren't necessarily true. They're little pranks. Do you see how this works, Ken?
Oh yeah, yeah. And you want me to run with them, or you want me to debunk them?
we're just gonna unpack them. That's
okay,
all we're
perfect.
Do.
Okay,
so that's what we're doing in today's episode. Let's jump right in.
This episode is brought to you by Life Focus, a new gamified approach to life planning that's easy, fun, and gives you a GPS for your next 10 years. You can start today at fullfocus.co/lifefocus.
Welcome to another episode of Focus on This, the most productive podcast on the internet. April Fools!
Keep going.
The internet. So you can banish distractions, get the right stuff done, and finally start loving Mondays. I'm Ken Freire, here with Nick, our producer. What's up, Nick?
What's up? We're here. It is April 1st. Every year, I'm going to go behind the curtains, in like February, and I wasn't alone this year, but every year in February I go, guys, we got
to
do something for April 1st.
We
did it successfully one time. Like 4 years ago, maybe even more. And this year, we sort of did it, but we're here. We did it. A few years ago, we released the Full Focus Glove, and now we're releasing, what we call it, Marissa. What would be a fun name for that dating thing for Marissa?
Focus on Marissa.
Ooh.
Hey.
There it is. That's it. Look at that branding. Look at that.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Let's not waste any more time. Let's just sort of get into some of these things. So these are things that I just have sort of several lists that I'm kind of referencing here.
Yeah.
These are things that we are told will make us more productive, and therefore would make us happier, but maybe not. And so I'm going to share them with you, Ken. We're going to talk about what we think about what these are. So for starters – we've all heard this before. You know, you got to work hard, right? We're famous for saying that around here. You gotta go hard.
Go hard.
One of the things is that working longer makes you more accomplished. It seems logical, right? If I work 4 hours, I get 4 hours worth of work done. If I work 8 hours, I get 8 hours worth of work done. But why might this not be true?
Because most people are not taking into consideration energy management. Mm. Like, just because you add more work doesn't mean that you'll produce more impact. You might be more tired by the end of the day, right? Like,
sure.
So it's silly to do that. And here's the downside. People might be like, well, I'll just take more energy drinks. I'll drink more coffee. I'll do some of that stuff.
Sure.
Well, awesome. Short term, that's great. But long term, what's going to happen is you're going to mess up your whole health and you're going to ruin your productivity in the long term. That's what I
was saying. We have not talked about this for a while, but Full Focus does not run on a 40-hour week.
No.
You think they would, or, you know, so there's something underpinning that.
Yeah, yeah. So we would say we typically, like, you know, our ideal is 6 hours, right? And sometimes we'll have to hit the 40-hour weeks, right? Sometimes I've worked a little bit more, but overall, we're trying to hit that like 6 to 8 hours. Like, that's the sweet spot, because we have found that, like, with research, that after 6 hours, people are like not really that productive. They're just doing a bunch of busy work.
I remember it back in like 2013. I was sitting having a frozen custard with some friends, and I went, if I told you that you could work 4 days a week instead of five, would you produce any less work? And literally everybody was like, oh no, I'd be totally, nothing would change. And I think that's intuitively true for all of us. You go, yeah, if I knew that I just didn't work tomorrow, I would get all my stuff done today, and it would be great. So there is something there. And I know that people listening to this show might know that, but it is important to remember. Maybe the solution to your problem isn't working more hours, but it is being more targeted in how you use the hours that you have. That's a problem for me.
Oh, 100%. Especially for those who are business owners who feel like they have to work 24/7, right? Or like, Nick, you got several podcasts that you're running.
Yes.
So you're always on, and then we're always texting you. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's texting you.
But when he's texting, it's never work-related. It's always something from Instagram.
It's true. I'm trying to build a relationship, Nick.
Sure. Okay, so that's number one. So number one, working longer hours leads to being more accomplished. Now, number two, the busier you are, the more productive you are. And I chose this because this is something that I am finding in my own life. This is like maybe the number one struggle that I'm having right now. The busier you are, the more productive you are. So let's look at your calendar, and you go, I got a meeting at 9, got a meeting at 10, got a meeting at 11. Then these next 2 hours, I'm editing this. These next 2 hours, I'm doing that. Whatever. I look at my calendar, it's packed. But that doesn't almost never works out for me.
Yeah.
No.
Neither for me.
No. Because I'm getting old, or maybe whatever. It turns out that you need rest. Even if I say I'm working 6-7 hours today, if I pack everything in there, I'm so exhausted that by the end of I might be able to do that for a day or two.
Yeah.
But like by Wednesday, Thursday, I'm just staring at my screen. Like, well, someone please save me from myself. And what's interesting, nobody asked, but I'll share it anyway, is that I have very deliberately in 2024 blocked out more of my time, because we talk about that all the time on your calendar. Put what you're going to work on in these things. And I do find that's helpful. But what I didn't account for was that I cannot go block after block after block, because then by the end of the week, I'm really behind. Like, I end up further behind than I think I would be.
Yeah, I have found that I can knock out the 6 hours, go. But the thing that it affects is then my family.
Yeah.
Because by the time I'm done, I'm like, I'm so wiped that I was like, I need like an hour to myself. And then that hour turns into 3 hours. And then it's just like, can no one just talk to me? Because I've been going nonstop.
Yeah. And your children come in the room and they sing Cats in the Cradle to you.
Exactly.
Like, can you throw the ball, Dad? And you're like, not now.
Yeah. I will say that our culture has a hard time differentiating between busyness and productivity.
Mm.
Because we feel like busyness makes us productive. Like, I have to be doing something so that people can see that I am accomplishing things.
Yeah.
And you internally feel like you are accomplishing things.
Oh.
Like, we don't like stillness.
When I was a kid, all I wanted, maybe I'm broken. All I wanted was to have meetings. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, when I was a kid, I wanted lots of keys. Keys are important. I wanted to go to meetings. So I have a meeting today or whatever. And I'm talking about even in high school and college, you'd be like, oh, I have to go to a meeting. Now I would commit crimes to avoid having to go to another meeting if I didn't have to. So I hear you. Yeah.
I used to feel the same way about traveling. I mean, I used to travel all the time, like for work stuff or like, oh yeah, I'll love to go to this place and speak and then come back, like do a turnaround, turn and burn, like 24 hours. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds exhausting. Like, I got to sleep at a hotel like five times. No. Like, I still like doing it, but I don't want to do it all the time.
Okay, so that was the busier you are, the more productive you are. That's a prank. That's a little prank that they're playing on you. I don't know who the they is. I mean, I do, but we don't have to talk about that right now.
Dang, I was about to blow someone up. I'm like, oh.
But, okay, this one's very interesting. So sometimes they go, you'll be told, if you want to have, let's say, the perfect event or the perfect product launch, the perfect whatever, you've got to have the perfect plan. When I say that, does that mean anything to you, Ken?
Dude, I get so overwhelmed by that as a recovering perfectionist.
Yeah.
Because I always want things perfect, but you can never have anything perfect in this world. Like, name one thing that's like set perfectly set in stone. Like, there's sure. always something.
Your smile, Ken.
It's 98%, Nick. 98. Oh, you're making it.
Yeah, but you know, a study published in the Harvard Business Review says that adaptive execution, being able to change and adjust your plans, is actually a better predictor of success than a meticulously planned execution. You know what I'm saying? Nothing works out the way you're going to want. And if you're me and if you're Ken, I can plan forever.
Oh, like 100%.
It's like, here we go. Oh, once I'm done planning, I will launch this thing, whether it's a podcast or a product or whatever. And planning isn't doing.
Yeah.
There's probably something right now that some of our listeners are doing that they're like, they could probably start doing like right now.
Yeah, right? You've planned enough. You've
okay, I'm very excited about this. I'm going to post, okay, so we're going to go in the community. If one person listening to this show is able to respond to that post for me about the thing that you just started doing because we just told you to do it, the whole thing has been worth it.
100%. You know, I had a mentor of mine who said 50% today is better than 100% tomorrow.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And just that concept, like, just start doing it. And here's the thing about plans. You quoted Harvard Business Review. I'm going to quote the great Mike Tyson, who used to say everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Right? And apparently he's coming back on the ring, and hopefully it's not a rigged situation, but yeah, that's a totally different conversation. Not. Yeah. He needs to do what he needs to do in that ring. That's all I'm saying.
Ken, you've ever been punched in the face?
I have. Several times. One time was me being jumped, so that was not fun.
Not fun.
Well, several times. And then now I'm trying to do Muay Thai and different things like that. And it's never fun. Like, every time I get punched, I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? You know?
I've been punched once in the face. In this face, I know.
I know. That's where the 2% came off of your smile.
And it was... That's right. And it wasn't a being jumped situation. I'm not trying to traumatize anybody. And I'm not trying to belittle anything that's out there. But there's a story from – there's a moment – you know the TV show Community?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Donald Glover plays a character named Troy. And he's telling the story about the first time he got punched in the face.
First time I got punched in the face, I was like, oh, no. But then I was like, this is a story.
And a good one.
Yeah.
And I think about that, and I quote it to my kid all the time, not because he's getting punched in the face, but because it's a metaphor. You go, like, at first, I'm like, this is bad, and I hate this. And then you go, but this is a story I will tell later. And so many of my best stories are about the times that something went wrong.
100%.
Something happened. I got punched in the face, and I had to deal with it, whether it be basic training or a business story. And so this is a little off track of, oh, we're talking about planning. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about planning.
Talking about planning. We're still there. So I just want, you know, at first I was like, oh, no. And then I was like, this is a story. Be that guy.
Yeah. Well, and here's what I would say about planning is that, and the reason I quoted Mike Tyson is that we have these great plans that we develop in theory. But when you start actually implementing or action steps, you start to quickly realize how much you do have to adjust.
Right? Sure.
Like, yeah, when I get punched, like when I'm in the ring and I get hit, I'm like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I better make sure I bring my hands up a little bit more. I better make sure I'm bobbing and weaving. Like, I got to move my feet. Like, there's all this stuff that happens. And in business, if you're a business owner or coach or consultant, whatever, right? Like, it's the same thing. You can't be thinking about creating content. Go create content. Like, go do it.
Yep.
Go develop it. Because then you'll see what people like. And as people are liking it, then you know to build more of that. Like, stop being in the theoretical world all the time. Like, you have to keep moving.
I'm going to spend more time on this point because that reminds me of maybe the best advice I've ever received from some, just like on YouTube, where I think about things. It was from Ira Glass, who podcast listeners will know is the host of This American Life. And it was this video on some defunct cable channel. I don't know. I saw it on YouTube years ago, like 10, 12 years ago. And you go, it's something that he talks about, the gap. And he goes, when you like love something, so let's just use podcasting, for example. So I love podcasts. Grew up in high school listening to pre-podcast public radio stuff. And he goes, he talks about when you love something, and that's the reason that you get into it, because you love it. But because you love it, when you start making your own thing, you recognize the thing you're making isn't that good.
Mm.
Right? It's because it's your passion for the thing. Once you start doing it, you realize there's all these things that you don't know how to do. And he calls that the gap. He goes, like, you've got to figure out a way to cross the gap between where you are and what you know is good. And he goes, most people quit. Most people quit because they don't want to work, do that thing. But if you can figure that out and know that this is part of the process, you're going to find success. And I like, it's so important to me all the time. The work I do now is so much better than the work I did 10 years ago. And so it's just, you got to cross the gap. And in fact, recognition of the gap is indication that you could be good at it.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't realize the thing that you're starting to make isn't good, you'll never get there. But if you go, oh, I'm bad at this.
Yeah.
Then you've got what it takes to get there.
Well, you probably know the benefits of the compound effect of small actions through daily habits. But the biggest question is, where are those habits leading you? Well, without a clear destination, it's really challenging to stay on course and keep up your motivation. So how do you decide which habits to prioritize in any given day, month, or even year? Well, the answer is a life plan. We here at Full Focus have created Life Focus, which is a brand new gamified approach to life planning. Each Life Focus kit comes with 11 card decks to help you define your personal mission, identify your personal values, describe your desired future, and determine your next steps, including the key milestones and essential habits to help you achieve your plan. By the end of this fun and easy process, you won't just have a vision for your life, you'll have the next steps and habits to pursue a life of greater direction, growth, and purpose. And right now, just for being a listener of Focus on This, we are giving you 15% off our Life Focus kit and our course. So just go to fullfocus.co/lifefocus and use the code FOT15 to get started.
We used to have a term for this in the podcast, but we don't say that anymore. We don't say it anymore, Ken. We're not going to talk about putting on equipment to go under the surface of the water to go deep on something. We're not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about it. But
we're going to find the roots. We're going to find the root issues. Here we go.
Some people will tell you that if you hustle, it can bring out the best in you, right? It's going to push you to the point where you wouldn't have gotten before. It's going to teach you resilience and endurance. And I hear you. And I do. There's a time and a place for that, for sure.
Yeah.
But what I think is interesting is that hustle culture, for me, constantly creates unhealthy competition.
Yeah.
Right? And I think if I go, 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 it's because I'm trying to get something. And so often that thing I'm trying to get is what I think I need, whether it be more money or a bigger house or more prestige or a title or whatever it is. And it's because the hustle culture is built upon the idea that more is better, basically.
Yeah.
And so what I'm suggesting here is to go, are there things in your life that you think that you need only because you've been told that you should?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. Interestingly enough, that I've been wrestling with this past week.
Interesting.
So I feel like we're very aligned today.
We're not two ships crossing in the night. We're like, you're like jumping on.
Seriously, dude, I was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize he was going to ask me that. We have not talked about this beforehand,
we have
for
not.
Those of you who are listening.
That's interesting.
I think it's so easy for us to fall into the hustle culture of like, oh, I need more, you know, like I need to do these things. Like I personally have some passion projects that I want to get started and I've been planning on it. So we're talking about planning. So this is almost like the opposite of it. But I'm like, if I start this project, what am I giving up? Or am I just trying to add this onto my life? And now I'm just adding more to my plate. And like, what am I trying to get out of this? What's my hopes and ambitions? I think ultimately there's three things that I've come to realize going to the deep root issue of this wanting more. That for me, so let me know if this resonates with anybody else, that I have found, I feel like anytime I want to do more, it's because I'm trying to get these three things in my life. Number one, I'm trying to build a new identity for some reason. Like I'm not happy with who I am at this very moment. And I got to ask myself, like, why is that? Like, what is it that I am not pleased with? Now, for those of you know, like, I'm a believer, like I believe I'm a child of God. Like that's where my identity ultimately is rooted in. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it feels like it's rooted in something else. And that's where I think the danger is that when your identity is rooted in something as superficial as working more, then you have to keep working. If that's your identity is rooted in accomplishing something, when you're not accomplishing, you have to keep going to do more. So you have to find your identity rooted in something outside of accomplishments, right? Mm. The second one is peace, realizing that like, I feel like I have to work more in order to achieve peace in my own life. And I'm like, why do I feel like I'm not at peace right now? Like what's going on internally? And then the last one is just comfort. I feel like if I work more now, then I could break and take a pause later and be stress free.
Sure.
But the lie behind that, we all know it, is that like, no, once you keep working more, you feel like you have to work more and more. There's always more at the end of the tunnel. So anyways, that's like me personally, the three things that generally this past week I've been wrestling through and processing in my own life and just saying, okay, well, how do I stop now? And I see the hustle culture, both internally and externally, wanting to take root in my life. How do I pause from that and move forward in the right direction?
I love all of that. And I think it's so funny that you're in that, not funny, like, haha, you're in this space, but that we're thinking about the same things. I mean, have I ever in my entire life said I have enough? Ever? Have I ever said that? Have I ever felt that literally for any second in my life? Probably not. And I look around and I go, I have so much. It's like insane. It is an insane, when you really combine those two ideas, you're going like, at any other time on the history of the planet, almost any other location on the planet, I'm like a king. Like the things that I have, like the love in my life, the material items I have, the freedom I have is pretty crazy, but I never get to feel that. And so there's a question as to, well, how did I get here? And I'm not alone. Yeah. I'm sure that most, and sadly that most of the audience, if you were to ask yourself, when have I ever felt like I have enough? I'm sure it's most of us, it's never. And which is like, pretty dark, actually.
I mean, if you think about it, like as soon as you said that, I was like, I don't think I've ever said that to myself.
Yeah.
I have enough. I probably have more than enough, actually.
I mean, what I know about your life seems pretty great. And I think actually we think that for other people a lot, probably. Right? Like, this is very, just go with me, everybody, Ken. Me and my hairline situation, I think about this a lot. There is nothing wrong with losing your hair at all. In fact, it's a privilege to make it to an age where you can. Same with growing gray, right? These are not givens that you're going to make it to be that age if that's what your body's doing. And yet, so when I see somebody with bald hair or see someone with gray hair, I like don't have any feelings about it at all. You know, sometimes I'm like, that looks freaking dope. Sometimes, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But for myself, it feels bad. Whatever, I don't know what that is. It feels less than, it feels like I've like failed somehow or my body is failed, whatever it is. And it doesn't make any sense. But so we do this a lot where what's okay for other people is not okay for us.
Yeah. Well, and this goes back to the identity issue that I was talking about. Like, so this is how it played out with me. I'm going to get a little vulnerable here. The other day, I went to the doctors. I wasn't feeling well. And they're like, basically, all the things that you're dealing with is because of stress. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I work at a place that, like, I don't work as much as I used to work. Like, I feel like I'm relatively balanced, way better than last few years, right? I'm like, I can't be, just like, I'm telling you, you're stressed out. So now I'm like stressed because someone's telling me I'm stressed out and I don't know. And I don't know how to solve the problem.
Some people tell you to like relax and you're like, don't, don't say that.
I'm like, I can't figure it out. I can't solve it. But then one of the things that I realized was like, okay, why am I so stressed out right now? Like, how can I calm down? How can I bring just peace to myself? And part of it was that I felt like I was so down on myself. This is the important part. I was so down on myself for being stressed out because in my mind, I felt like I should be able to do more. Like, I should be able to do more. Like, I have been a high-driven, high-productive person for years, and now you're telling me to slow down? Like, dude, come on. And I've fallen into that same trap that we were just talking about where busyness equates to productivity. And it's like, no. I'm probably just doing a lot of stuff that I don't need to be doing and I have to say no to and just really focus on what is the biggest impact I can make with the time allotted so that I am not, you know, redlining it all the time.
Sure.
So
how's that going?
You know, this has all happened since Monday. So I'm still in the process phase. We're recording this on a Wednesday. So this is 3 days of processing. But I'm going, honestly, I think I'm just going back to my identity. Like, what is it that I am trying to achieve or gain from me working so much, you know? And not just here at work, but like in life, like all the things that I'm doing. Like, what happens if I slow down? We talk about the power of non-achievement, right? Like, Joel is telling me, hey, go read some fiction books. And I'm like, oh, okay.
like a story?
A story? Like, you mean I don't have to learn to like grow in my job or stuff? He's like, yeah, just go read something. And it's like,
wow.
You know, so now it's like challenging. I'm literally in 3 days of like challenging myself in multiple areas of my life where I'm like, okay, how can I process this internally, but come out stronger? And in the end, come out stronger. And also for myself, feel like I'm not stressed, but I know how to truly be productive and walk with my identity and my peace and my joy is all coming from for me, at least the Lord, and not from material things that I get.
Sure. I you know, that's important hard work. And I think something that I've started to think about is what example do I want to have for my children?
Mm.
Do I want them to live this life for their entire life, that they feel this at all times? The thought of just being able to like sit in a spot and like go, this is, I feel like I'm not like putting off another thing.
Yeah.
Which is constantly how I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like if I'm, I'm going to sit, I'm going to watch this movie with my kid or whatever. I'm thrilled to do it. But how I'm off, I'm like, okay, when this is over, I've got to do X, Y, Z.
Oh, yeah.
Or okay, tomorrow I'm going to have to move this. How do I get to that place? So that's another thing that I've really been thinking about. Also, psych, we're perfect. You've been pranked. We don't have these feelings.
Yeah, this these isn't are not real. My issues. Come on. You have problems? Go hard on them. What's wrong with you? I just shared all my vulnerable stuff, and you're like, go hard.
Marissa, I have a cramp from laughing. Marissa would say, I gotta drink more water. So she's still here in spirit. She's in my head. Well, anyway, I had another short segment planned, but that's plenty to go on. Hopefully, you know, on this April 1st, you're able to spend time and just sort of reflect on what has life pranked you with? Ooh, is that interesting? Ooh. Is that stupid? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm crying from that joke. From my own joke.
You're so funny.
Any final thoughts today?
Yeah, I would say that it is always really important to assess, and this is where the weekly preview comes in, to really take stock of where you're at in life. Do you have too much going on? And I think a great tip, Nick alluded to this, can you just sit down for 20, 30 minutes and just not do anything? And not worry about it and not think about it.
I'm nervous with you saying that.
I know. I'm nervous with me too. Because I told my wife, I was like, I don't know how to turn off my brain. I've just learned how to direct it into different things. But like,
yeah.
this is again part of the processing. I was like, maybe I've always been stressed since a little kid and I've just never known about it because of the trauma that I've dealt with and all that stuff. I thought I've gotten healing, but hey, you know what? I don't know how to probably just sit there and just chill for 30 minutes quiet. I also have 4 kids. So I don't have time for that.
Sure. But I mean, even just to be with them and chill.
Oh, yeah.
And where I'm
fully
go,
present.
Yeah.
Fully present.
Yeah.
That's real talk. That's like, you know, there are times when I'm just hanging out with them, but my brain, my mind is like in 5 different places.
Yeah. Or it's a task.
It's a task. You're exactly. Like,
kids need a parent right now. I'm parenting.
Yeah.
Once this is done, I will go to the next thing.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, thanks for going on this this strange last minute trip with me. What a fortuitous bit of timing. Let's close it out.
Thanks for joining us on Focus on This. This is the most productive podcast on the internet, so please share it with your friends and be sure to join the Full Focus Planner community on Facebook so you can benefit from the creativity and encouragement of people chasing big goals just like you. We'll be here next week with another great episode on fun productivity hacks from our community. Until then, stay focused.
Psych, you, don't, you, Frank. Is that right?
Be distracted all day long. Yeah, you messed it up at the end. It's ridiculous.
This episode is brought to you by Life Focus, a new gamified approach to life planning that's easy, fun, and gives you a GPS for your next 10 years. You can start today at fullfocus.co/lifefocus.